Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Welcome to the Riot Podcast, everyone. This is Bob Schoeneman, along with my co-host, Barry Rice.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Pete Robertson.
What's happening?
So, guys, how was your weekend? Lots of hearts and candy and roses?
Yeah, I did pretty good with that. We, my wife and I went to, where did we go? We went to hang out somewhere. Oh, we went down to Disney Springs down in Orlando, and we hung out down there and walked around and ate dinner and listened to music. Oh, there's a lot of jazz players down there. So, like, there was two different guys that were playing saxophone. And so it was kind of like the romantic kind of day. And so we just sat and did nothing and listened. But there were so many people there.
This was on Valentine's?
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
It was fun. Weren't you like somewhere?
You didn't go to church?
I was also in Disney.
Yes, yeah. I go to church.
I took my wife to, she loves Italian. You guys know that. Crystal loves Italian food. So we went to the Swan Hotel, also in Disney. And they have this really nice Italian restaurant in there. And it was amazing. I think she had been there when she was a kid, but I've never even walked around those hotels before.
It's beautiful,
gorgeous.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So we walked over to like the boardwalk, yeah. and the yacht club was over there. Just really cool places to look at. And those buildings, the architecture, and just the detail. It's Disney, right? So yeah. The details. And then we got rained on a little bit, but it was cool. So we had a reservation of 7:45. We got there like 6:30 and just had an hour to walk around and kind of check everything out. It was really cool.
You want to know a cool fact?
I do.
That's the only property on Disney property that Disney doesn't own.
It's Marriott, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, the Swan is by Marriott?
I didn't know that until I was there.
You know how many Marriotts around Disney World? There's like one, two, three going into Disney World.
Yeah, Marriott World.
Yeah,
rightfully called. I mean, that place is amazing. I mean, it's huge. I did not know that, Barry, until we were there, and it was funny because you know how everybody's doing the 3D barcodes for menus,
right?
So you pop up on your phone the menu,
and it
said Marriott on there. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I did not know that. That's interesting fact.
I didn't tell you guys what JD did for the girls. My son sent bouquets of flowers to all the girls in my family, and this was a knock it out of the park time.
What a stud.
He's an amazing young man. I hope my daughter finds a young man just like him.
It was so unique. I mean, the Carly, she's the athlete, you know?
Yeah.
Flowers, okay, that's nice. But inside of the flower that she got was a Starbucks card.
Nice. Aww.
Now, that got her excited, right? And, you know, Cassie, she's really unique. And he bought her a miniature rose plant. It's a plant that, you know, and it was in a bucket. And it does these little purple roses. And it just made her feel so loved. It was really cool. Way to go, JD.
You're amazing,
what
is
what
JD.
Did he get to his mom?
He got her a dozen of roses, just beautiful red roses. And he got her these little chocolate sweet bits.
Uh-huh.
She loves putting them in the freezer. And that's a lot of times when she wants something sweet, she'll eat these little baking chocolate bits.
Oh.
Yeah.
Son, if you're listening to that, follow JD's lead.
Right?
Right?
Yeah, amazing, amazing young man. Well, we all got together on Saturday night.
Yeah,
you
want to
talk
fun.
A little bit about that? I know there was a word that came out of that gathering that you can't stop talking about, Pete.
Talking about the tricord?
I am.
What
I
is
am.
That, Bob?
Yeah. Sure, throw me under the bus. We had an amazing dinner for couples at Compass Community Church up in Apopka, Florida, and it was just a great time. We had a guest speaker that was kind of
psychologist
helping us understand how to better love our wives, and it was just really cool. But we had a discussion with the speaker at our table, and he was talking about this thing called a tricord, and he referenced Ecclesiastes 9.
No, 4.
4, 9 and 10, right? Or
yeah,
9 through 12, something like that. You're going to read that for
us. Yeah, let me read it. So it said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how could one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and threefold cord it not quickly broken. And when I read that and I saw that, it just it really brought it to life. And thinking about when you have a connection with three different individuals, so like we would be considered a tricord. That's what Nelson was talking about. So there's three of us, and he's saying that when we are there to hold each other accountable, we're there to be vulnerable with each other, we're there to help each other grow in our faith, to help us move forward in life circumstances and different things, that if Satan tries to come against us, that cord is so connected, it's so tight, that it's almost impossible for us to fall.
Did you catch the analogy, or not the illustration of the fishing line? Remember when he was talking about that?
No.
He said if you take three strands of 20-pound test fishing line, and for those of you who don't fish, it just means the line can hold up to 20 pounds before it snaps.
Right.
He said if you take the three of them and intertwine them and wrap them together, it turns into 90 pounds of strength.
Right.
So it's not even just triple. So instead of being 20 pounds as an individual, in that tricore, you're 90 pounds. So it was just a great picture of how we're better together.
It really did help because, I mean, as I started, I mean, we had a really good discussion afterwards on it. And I really see the value and the benefit in my walk. And so personally, in my walk, I want to have that tricord. I want to have that vulnerability. And I desire to have those people that are close to me that can speak into my life, but more importantly, just keep me accountable. And it really, I mean, there's a 90-pound of cord there. It's hard to break. So that was really cool. I don't know, Barry, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we ought to do a show on that, to be honest with you. And a show that really is not only challenging people who love Jesus to get a tricord in their life, but especially you pastors.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the pastors, and I've been there, I know you have too, guys, that we live on islands, and that's why I'm doing this, to be honest with you. I'm doing this because I have someone that is my friend. I need a friend, you know? Right. And because we do this, we are definitely becoming close friends, and doing ministry together, it's so important to have those people around you that they just love you.
Yeah.
And they love you enough to go to the awkward. Mm-hmm. They love you enough to go to the hard part and do the hard stuff and wash your feet. And, you know, all that is so, so important because it definitely will keep you out of the pits and from falling.
Yeah, washing the feet part is hard for me because, you know, sometimes they just stink really bad, right? But, you know, if God told me to do it, I'd wash your feet, right?
Well, it's those guys, man, that wear flip-flops everywhere they go. And, you know, there's a new trend not to wear any shoes.
Yeah, I know.
And that's nasty.
Yeah, man. It is.
I mean, really. You know, until just a few years ago, I would never wear flip-flops. Never. But living in Florida, it's almost, they broke through to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people have toes with those big old yucky things all over the place. And he's like, you look at them like, oh my gosh. But I bet you back in the days, I mean, think about it. Those disciples had some dirty feet, you know, walking around that dirt and all that. And Jesus is like, dude, he's down there.
Donkeys and horses. I can't even imagine how nasty that was.
I say it is funnily, but if God told me to do it, I'd be all over it. And I just want to wash someone's feet.
Well, we really should do a show just on that. I mean, it's so important to surround yourself with good people. And I just love that analogy. But it was a great discussion. And I mean, we
get Nelson on. Maybe we can get him back on.
When we talk about tricords.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That would be really fun.
But
couldn't stop talking about it all the way home too. So that was really cool.
Didn't we promise our people that we talk about something today, though?
Yeah. I was just thinking about
there was only one or two people that actually took us up on it and talked about prophecy. And they said it in, they put it actually in the chat part, like we asked them to. And what's really funny is more people listened to our part two of last week than they did the part one.
Is that right?
Yeah. But we had really heated discussions.
There was a lot of comments.
Oh, yeah. If you guys haven't listened to last week, trust me, you want to listen to it. So Why Religion Sucks. And it was really, we just went through five different points.
I lost my job over that, by the way.
But it was really, really good. And it really just walks through. And there was a lot of heated debate I mean, we had you know, almost 100 comments on it. Just a really good discussion about why religion sucks, and just really walked people through it. So if you haven't listened to it, listen to it, part one and part two. But what I was saying is more people are listening to part two than they were part one.
Yeah, that's really strange. Maybe it's just because it was the last podcast possibly up there, and they're just possibly going to the latest one.
But we were marketing more than one, so I don't know. It's a little strange.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, we do not have a show sponsor today, but if you would like to sponsor our show next week, you can go to our website at riotpodcast.co.co. Click on the, what's that button called again, Pete?
Yeah, show sponsor. It's in the menu bar. We really do need sponsors, guys. So if you guys want to help out the show, I mean, we are worldwide, going worldwide, and we've been, you know, at least our reach is that way and getting response from people all around the world.
Hello, Belgium.
Yeah, right. But we just, if you want to be a show sponsor, help us out. That'd be cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So we're going to jump into a new series today, kind of give you the outline of what we're going to talk about, but we're excited. And, man, we are not experts on this subject by any means, and we're going to try to bring on some special guests that have just more depth of knowledge than
we do.
Yes, please. But we're excited. This seems to be in the news all the time. You hear people talking about it all the time. But the topic is going to be prophecy in the end times, and we're going to be working closely out of a book by Ron Rhodes. It's called The End Times in Chronological Order. And it's just so far, I haven't gotten to the whole book yet, but it's just an amazing, amazing read so far, and easy. It's you would think, you know, a lot of times in these topics are really you need a biblical degree to get through them, but this is it's been a pretty easy read. I'm also reading. Pete turned me onto this one. Jimmy Evans' Tipping Point, really good so far. I like kind of how he points to or points out some of the signs of the times, and so that's exciting. And a couple other authors we can recommend if you want to follow along with us is Tim LaHaye. Is that did I say
yeah,
that right?
Yes, LaHaye? Yes.
Jerry Jenkins and Joel Rosenberg. So, Pete, you want to kind of give us an overview of what we're about to dive into?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, we're going to try our best to do a chronological order of end times. And so we're going to bring up things that are relevant that are happening in our world today. What you're not going to hear from us is speculative. Now, maybe there might be certain people that come on our show that are our guests that might speculate. Did I say it right? Yeah, it's something. Like, for instance, well, you know, Russia has, you know, a huge, you know, army of horsemen, and that's going to be in the end times, and that's what's going to happen. And maybe, I don't know, but I don't want to just get into that. Or, you know, like China right now can do a 200 million man army, and it does say in the end times there's just going to be 200 million man. Well, maybe, I mean, yeah, we can accept that, but I don't want us to get caught up into that. And
I really think they're going to be robots.
Yeah, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That
yeah.
The army, that 200 million. No, I'm just teasing.
No, but I mean, no, there's possible
it
truth.
Could be.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
could be.
Yeah, there's possible truth to that. But see, again, we'll talk about stuff maybe like that, but we're not. You're not going to hear us saying that's what's going to happen.
So you're right? not going to give us a date to the rapture?
We're not going to do the absolutes. But what we will do is we're going to talk about chronologically what's happening in the Bible. So like we'll start with kind of like today. So today was going to be like kind of an outline. So we're going to talk about why Israel is important for prophecy and end times. We're going to talk about a little bit about like why is the United States maybe not in the end times. So we'll kind of go over that a little bit. And then also, what are some signs of the times, or what are things that might be taking place that might point us to Jesus coming back? And so that would be kind of today. And then next week, we'll talk about the rapture a little bit. So we'll talk about that word rapturus, and we'll get into that.
Say that one more time?
Yeah, rapturus. And then from there, we'll talk about...
Is that a tourist that raps?
It's the actual Greek actual translation of it for caught up.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Why does your Greek have a Spanish accent?
Right, but that's me. Let me be me, man. Come on.
You kind of rolled
Don't
those
hate
eyes.
On me, man. And then from there, we'll go into kind of the pre-trib. So we're going to take the pre-trib standpoint. There's some people that are going to probably come against us. Say, we're all millennium, or we're post-trib, mid-trib. That's fine. That's good. But we see the Bible from a pre-trib. So we're going to probably spend a couple weeks talking about that. Maybe the, you know, the beginning of tribulation, and then we'll go into maybe the middle of the tribulation, what happens after the 3.5 years, and we'll go to the post and the millennial and so forth. So stay with us. This is going to be maybe a couple month journey. Each week will lead to something else. And again, so there's going to probably be things that we say that might need to be corrected. So if there's something that we say that we're off a little bit, please text it in the boxes of, you know, whatever platform you're on. Or if you see something that's good and it ministered to you, we'd love to hear that as well. Trust me, we're doing our part. We're going to study, we're going to research, we're going to do our things, and we're going to get the right people to help us. But this is going to be a fun journey and a ride, and so we're just looking forward to it. Bob, any other thoughts?
No, I was just thinking, I was thinking about the signs of the times and stuff like that, and we were reading some of that in 2 Timothy, and maybe I'll read that in a little bit. But in Jimmy Evans' book, he points to... And what do you think about this? We heard a lot about the blood moons the last couple of years,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And he's using those as not as like signs. It's more of things that are pointing to signs. So that's fascinating. I need to finish reading the book before I talk more about it. But
well, there's a lot of history involved in that. So you got to understand the history of the blood moon in the context of it. And that whenever there's that many blood moons, there's always a significant thing that took place in Israel.
And that's what he was pointing out. Yeah. And that in the solar eclipse too, which we just had that one in 2017. And I found out today when I was listening that there's another one scheduled for 2024.
Yep.
So, which is weird, kind of 7 years apart, and just
maybe one of our guests will have expertise in that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll ask about that.
That stuff's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that.
I'll tell you what's amazing though is back in the day that they could understand and document, you know, what happened in the stars.
Right.
That, you know, we have no excuse because we have all the technology, but that without hardly any technology, they were able to keep track, and that was a part of it. You know?
Yeah, so let's just kind of go this way. So let's start with Israel. Why is Israel important for the end times? And I think let's try to set that up. I know, let's put it this way. From the way that we understand Scripture, if Israel did not become a nation, then there's a lot of things that are written in the Bible from a prophetic standpoint that would make no sense. Because Israel became a nation in 1948... that set up all the things that now can come for as far as the rapture. So God's not done with Israel. So a lot of people say, well, after you know, Jesus arose from the grave and now the church stage is on hand, so now is God done with Israel? No. I mean, Israel's still in play. And as we progress and move forward in the coming weeks, we'll talk about Israel a lot. And so that will come to that. But right now, what's happening with Israel is they're blind. And so they're not seeing the Jesus. They're not seeing Jesus as Messiah. And there's a blindness. And it says in Romans 11, 25, something to that verse. Bob, you want to read that? Do you have that in there? Or I'll just read it. Yeah, I got it. So it says that there is a blindness to the things of Christ with the Jewish nation until all of the Gentiles that God desires to be saved is fulfilled. So I think let's just start this off. So in the beginning, God created man to have fellowship with him, to walk with him, and then he saw that man was sinning and all this bad stuff was happening, but he wanted to find a people group to separate, to be holy, to be different, to be set apart so that all the world would know that he is God. So he wanted them to be a beacon of light to the world, and that in them that truth would come. That's what God wanted. That's how he set apart the Jewish nation, the Israelites.
So that started with Abraham?
Yeah, so that started, well, actually, that's when Abraham was called to create a people. He told him that he's going to be the father of many nations. So when Israel started coming into the nation, that was with Moses and Joshua. So remember, they were coming out of Egypt, they were going in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they would come in. So that is where Israel started as a nation, so right there. But from there, what took place was they rebelled, remember? So God, if you read the Old Testament, you're going to read a lot of rebellion against there, and God's like always like, oh, nah, don't you guys get it? Were you going to say something?
Go ahead, brother.
No. And so there was just a lot of rebellion. And then God said, fine, you know, and then he allowed the Assyrian army, if you remember the Old Testament, to come and to invade Israel. And then more importantly, he allowed the Babylonian army and King Nebuchadnezzar to come and invade, and we find a lot of that in Daniel. And so that took them away. That took them out of the land. And then later, in the Persian Empire, they were able to come back in, you know, Nehemiah, the rebuilder, and so forth. And so a remnant came back into Israel. And then from there, they were dispersed again after AD 70. So if you remember Caesar Nero, he brought down the things, and so they were running for their lives. He came in, he hated the Jews, and so they were. That's where they went into all of Europe. They started spreading everywhere.
So from 70 to 1948, there was no country, no nation of Israel.
No, so there were remnants there, but in 638, that's when the Muslims came in, and that's when they established
Jerusalem.
And so they took over ownership, and that's why a lot of people wonder, well, why is the Dome of the Rock there, and why is there so many Muslims? Well, that happened in about 638. So you have to understand the history. So we're trying to walk you through what took place in history. And so from there, the Israelites were all spread until about 15th century. You can see in history that a large amount of them moved to Poland. So they were all throughout Western Europe and Germany and different parts, but a large amount moved to Poland. And once that took place, that's when Hitler now comes, right? So Hitler came in the 1940s, 41, 42, and he then massacred and killed over 6 million Jews. And so the Holocaust is what we call that. And so what happened right after that is they all started scattering, and many of them started going back to Israel. And many of them started coming back into the land. And then in 1948, what took place is they declared Israel as their homeland again. And so enough of them came back in, and they said, now Israel's our hand, Jerusalem's our capital. Well, that happened more towards 1967, the Six-Year War. But they said, this is what took place. And then the army's members said, no, you're not going to do it. But that's when they established. And so because of that, sorry, guys, I'm talking a lot, but because of that, I got to explain this a little bit. But because of that, now when we read, and we'll read some scripture here a little bit, but when we read about what's going to take place in the future, it now will make sense, because now Israel has been reestablished. God has never been done with them. It's always going to be about Israel. You're going to see that. And God's not done with them. But now some of the scriptures that we read will make sense. Do you have some of those scriptures? Well, wait. Where's your? Do you have your notes there, Bob?
Yeah, let me make this point real quick.
Go ahead.
Pete. One of the things that needs to be noted that happened in AD 70 is that the temple was destroyed.
Yes,
and that's very, very important, because they had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming in on a donkey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jerusalem receives Jesus and saying Hosanna. They kill him, they bury him, they nail him to a cross, and they just deny him. And matter of fact, they go further than deny him. They're yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so God sees that they have made their choice and gives them 70 years to turn this thing around, and then he destroys the temple. And that is very, very significant, because that temple is going to be rebuilt. And that's a very, very important thing to understand. Why has this nation been scattered? It has been the judgment of God. And they have come back together. And you remember the passage where Jesus is saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I hurt for you. I like a hen want to gather you together, like a hen gathers her chicks. And God has a heart for Israel. And Israel is God's chosen nation. And that has not changed, right? That has not changed. That God has chosen Israel as his nation that would demonstrate his love to the people. And so goes the nation of Israel. It will align 100% with the prophecy that's in the Word of God. And not all that prophecy that has happened has happened, but everything is coming to fruition, and that's what we're going to talk about, and that's what we're going to study, and that's what we're excited to talk about.
Yeah, and again, it's like there's a lot of confusion out there. So there's a lot of people that are asking the question, what's next? You know, with all this unrest, when's God coming back again? And so that's what we're trying to do. We're going to kind of help that. But again, Israel has a significant part. So in the church age, you know, Israel is blind. There's going to be some, but in the church age, it's both Jews and Gentiles that come
in. Man, that's a great way to put it, Pete, that Israel was blind to the Messiah that actually did come, and God kept his promise to send one.
Yeah, and then it also says, though, in Zechariah 12:10, that in the end times, the Israel will also have their eyes open again to the Messiah. They'll know it. That's right when the Antichrist is invading their land, and Jesus is going to be coming back again, and at that moment, their eyes are going to open. It says that there's going to be 144,000 that are going to be spared, and that they're going to be able to see that is. We will talk about that in coming podcasts, but that's one thing that's going to take place. But here's the significance. Let me just read this real quick. Well, let me just talk about this, them coming back. So Ezekiel 37 gives us a kind of a vision of that, of scattered dry bones miraculously coming back together again. There's no doubt that that's talking about Israel. What is this? Ezekiel 36 through 10 and 24, it says, I will multiply people on you, the whole house of Israel, all of it. The city shall be inhabited and the waste places rebuilt. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your land. So again, that's 1948. That prophecy was fulfilled in 1948. Another thing that Rosenberg said, he said, consider the
Joel
number.
Joel Osteen.
Yeah, I almost did. It's Rosenberg. Joel Rosenberg said, he said, consider the numbers. When Israel declared her independence on May 14th, 1948, the country's population stood only about 806,000. Yet by the end of 2005, it nearly 7 million, with 5.6 million are Jews. Thousands of more thousands arrive every year. And I just read the 2020 census, and I think it was like 6.8 million Jews are now there in Israel. And so the prophecy is being fulfilled. The people are coming back. So any thoughts, guys, on some of that, or do we kind of want to talk about?
Well, the other piece was the peace covenant we were talking about earlier, right, that Daniel mentions in chapter 9, verse 27.
Yeah, you want to talk about
that?
Yeah,
let me read it to you real quick. Right. It just says, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decree ends and is poured out over the desolator. So what does that mean, Pete?
Yeah, so again, I mean, that absolutely is impossible to happen unless Israel's there. So how do they have a peace treaty without a nation? How does that take place? And you kind of see a lot of the people are seeing the peace that's happening with Israel. Is that the peace treaty? Is that happening? No, because that would be an antichrist that takes charge in that. And we kind of talked about the spirit of antichrist, and we're going to get into that a little bit with the apostasy kind of mindset. But does one of you guys want to talk about that, the spirit of antichrist and what that looks like, or anything else?
Well, one of the things that I believe that's going to happen is that there's going to be a leader that's raised up that's going to win the trust of Israel. And Israel as a nation is going to follow this leader, and he's going to unify, bring peace in the Middle East. That definitely hasn't happened yet, right?
No, I mean, not completely.
Yeah. And so once that happens, they're all going to turn on Israel, and you don't mess with God's first love. And that's kind of going to be the sign. But, you know, I was looking up that same verse, Bob, when you were reading it, but that's why the temple has got to be rebuilt, is that this leader who is going to be revealed as the Antichrist, and who is the Antichrist, Bob? It's the person, you know, Satan wants to emulate everything that God did. It's going to be like Satan's only begotten son, where Jesus denied the temptation to take the power, and when Jesus was tempted in the desert, This person is going to say, give it to me, baby. I want that power. And he's going to get the power, and he's going to unify really probably that one world, you know, currency, that one world government, and we're headed that way. It Bible tells us that, and so the Antichrist is going to be this leader that appears to be all for Israel. And what he's going to really be all for Israel is all for Israel's demise. And that's what one of the parts of who the Antichrist is, that he is going to be Satan's puppet in leadership in the end times.
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4 says, "Who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do not remember that when I still was with you, I told you these things." And this is kind of Jesus telling them that. So back up. So if Israel isn't a nation, that verse makes no sense.
Yeah.
And then now it's talking about a one world ruler or leader that's going to then step into the temple. Well, the temple hasn't been made yet, right? So there's still not enough peace. The Dome of the Rock sits on the top of the temple in Israel. But I have personally seen multiple blueprints of the temple. It's already done. They already have 3D
renderings
of it. And so I've seen that. I've seen the whole thing. And I've also seen inside of the temple preparation classes, the things that they're doing, the high priest, they have the garments, they have all of these things already. I've seen this, so this is fact. So they are already preparing themselves for the coming and the building of the temple. And so there's going to have to be some sort of peace there for them to be able to build that. That hasn't happened yet, but there's signs of the times. They have the renderings.
This just dawned on me, maybe I shouldn't say it, but what if this leader is the one who finances the rebuilding of the temple?
Possibly, yeah.
I think it's a good possibility. And then when he actually goes in and presents it, he sits down and says, "Worship me. I am the God." It's going to be crazy.
So let's just look at it this way too. So we have Jordan, we have Egypt, we have Saudi Arabia. There's some other ones that are already made peace with Israel. Okay, Iran hates them. Okay, so Iran hates that. I don't think they're ever going to come around. But there's enough now that's taken place where there might be some sort of where Israel's going to say, "Hey, could we at least build our temple on the outer court here? Could we at least build our temple so we can have the Dome of the Rock? If we're going to have peace, shouldn't we both be able to do that?" And so I can see that already starting. I can see that could be the next step. Mm-hmm. Israel's already ready for that. So that's why I'm saying that what people are experiencing or what people are feeling right now, the anxiety, the chaos, there's a little bit of fear, there's all of that. I think there's a good reason for that. I think we're starting to see things come to light a little bit more. And so the Bible tells us we need to be ready, right? The Bible says that, you know,
that
he can come at the at the moment's time. And so we don't know.
So do you think the building of the temple, is that another sign of the tribulation getting ready to happen? Or is that something that's going to happen during the tribulation, do you think?
Well, we're going to talk about that more, the pre-trib. But I mean, again, the temple can't happen without Israel being in the land. So now that Israel's in the land, right, the next step can happen. So the next step, and now Israel's taking it even further. They have the heifers for sacrifice.
They're already prepared.
Yeah, they have the blueprints. They have all the robes, the garments. They've already been trained, the high priest. I mean, there's all of these things have already been taking place. And so that's there. Now there's peace, supposedly. I mean, it's not absolute peace. That's not where the whole world has said peace, peace, but it's already starting. You know, there's a measure of that. And so I can see that leading into them, you know, getting into building the temple.
I mean, back up 4 years, would you have thought that there'd be peace agreements with Saudi Arabia and who else?
Yeah, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt.
I mean, who would have thought that would have happened?
I think it was Kuwait, maybe, or in Bahrain. A lot of them.
Was it Egypt? The new one with Egypt?
Maybe Morocco.
Morocco.
Yeah, it just came on. So, I mean, there's a lot of them that are signing on. Eventually, they're going to have more, is what I heard. But, you know, they're already doing those flights over and into that. And so, who knows? But so that's a major one. So, all right, we covered that. So we exhausted that. We're gonna talk about Israel more in the future, more next shows. But another thing that we need to look at is the apostate state of mind. That is something that is really important for us to understand when these things start taking place, that we need to beware that God is close. And what is apostate? So the word comes from a Greek word, apostatasia. I'm probably butchering that, but whatever.
I had that one time.
Yeah, right. So it means falling away. The word refers to falling away from truth. It depicts a willful defection from the faith or an abandonment of the faith. And so it's something that it says in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, it says, "Thou, the Holy Spirit, tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead." So, I mean, I guess kind of let's talk about what we are seeing today that is the apostate state of mind. And so any thoughts, guys, on that? Anyone?
I have a whole lot, and I'm sure a lot of people do. You know, I know you've been watching the programs where people are being interviewed and so forth. But when it comes to this type of teaching, it's important to remember that it is not truth. It is what people want to hear. Their itching ears want to hear, and that's what they are congregating to. If beware of the large following and it not being truth. You know, always take your Bible to church. Always take what the pastor says according to what the scriptures say. And I know that there's a ton of pastors here that are a part of our podcast. We have got to be true to God's word. We have got to preach the word, because what we think and what we have to say doesn't change lives, but what God's word does change lives. It divides the soul, the marrow, the bone and the marrow. It is the mirror that we look into. And you're right. It says in the end times that people are gonna follow these demonic teachings, and what the demonic teachings really all are about, in my opinion, is very similar to the American dream. It's a meism, it's a selfishness, and it's a self-centeredness that it's all about me. So anybody else?
Yeah, Bob. I got a Barry, you already kind of touched on the itching ears, but I have a couple scriptures that I want to share with you. So both in 2 Timothy, we'll start with chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into the myths. Wow. You know what caught me there is accumulate themselves teachers to suit their own passions. You know, it's like a collection of here, this is what I want to hear, and man, that's just...
Well, continue to read, Bob.
Yeah.
Chapter 3 and verse 2.
Yeah, this kind of puts it in perspective.
2-5.
Yeah, okay. "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry."
No.
Chapter 3.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. Yeah.
"For people will be lovers..." Yeah, this sounds familiar. "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people." Wow. That sound familiar?
Oh, my goodness, man. If that is not a picture of the United States, I don't know what is. But also the world, really, right? When you travel around the world, you just see ungodliness. And you know, if they would have said tearing down statues as part of that, I mean, it would have fit right in with the riots and, you know, all the stuff that's going on in our nation. It is to wake us up.
Wow.
Yeah, it's again, so I'm thinking about the apostate mindset and how could people follow this one rule, world ruler? How could they follow this Antichrist? And this is what I see happening. So this verse is kind of alluding to what's taking place in our world today. And we're seeing the lowering of good. We're seeing the lowering of our morals. And you know, holiness is so high. It's to be able to achieve perfection or holiness, it's mind-boggling. I can't even comprehend God, Jesus, walking a perfect life. I just can't. I am so desperate for a Savior. It's beyond comprehension. But what's happening today is our morals are being desensitized. We're watching things on TV. We're hearing things that people are saying. The disrespect for authority is at an all-time high. The disrespect towards parents is an all-time high. The lack of value and integrity is at all-time high. And things are happening in such a unbelievable, horrific, evil way that it's just causing just people to just accept it as truth. And they're starting to, well, let me back up. So they're accepting like a semi-good as truth versus seeing the full holiness of what truth is. And so it's, you know, some people are like, you know, what's good is bad and what's bad is good, you know, and it's been all, I mean, look at politics, look at everything that's happening. And so we're seeing things that are all yucky and horrible. And I like that word, yucky. Yucky. Anyway, and so here's what I see. Okay, so here we have a one world leader. Okay, one world leader comes in and he says, hey, I want to lead people to goodness. I want to lead people to doing what's right. Okay, but his standards are still a lot lower than holiness. His standards can't even measure up, but it's better than what's happening in the world today. And so it's almost setting it up. And so all of these people that are living in today's, if they do not want know the truth, if they do not know their word of God, they will be deceived by this Antichrist. They will see it as good, but it's not the very best. Only Jesus is the very best. Amen. And so it's I can see that happening, and I see that starting to take place in the world today. And so it's we need to pray for our nation. We need to be a light in our nation. We need to be an example in our nation. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast, is to be a light, is to be a voice. We talk about hard things. Many of you probably don't know this, but we've been censored by certain platforms, social platforms. I'm not going to say their name because they'll probably censor us again. And they won't allow us to have you know, this out. So it's happening, and we're living in that. And so, beware, you know, and don't get caught up into the world's lies. If you see something that's not of truth, call it out. We talked about this last week when we were talking about, you know, religion sucks. It's a part of that process. And so any thoughts, guys, on that?
Well, that's why it's so important, Pete, that we know God's word. And there's so many guys out there that go to church and say, feed me, pastor, and want to be fed by their religion and fed by their pastor and fed by their church, when they have got to get a handle on God's word themselves and know what the word says themselves. How can I know if someone is not speaking the truth unless I know the truth, right? So get into the word, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, apostate is real. Bob, you nailed it with 2 Timothy 3:2-5. You guys have studied that, looked that up on your own, but it really is relevant today. There's so much pride. There's so much pleasure of themselves. There's so much hate and cruelty that's taking place. And it's not just, I mean, if we're going to talk politics, it's on both sides. I'm hearing it the same from one side or the other. And our job as Christians is to elevate others above ourselves. Our job as Christians is to deny ourselves, pick up a cross, and follow Jesus. It is not to do God's job. If we want to do, what we need to do is pray, get on our knees, stand in the gap for other people, be warriors in the spirit, and let God be God. Let Him take charge. And if we're going to speak to people, you know, you can speak truth, you can speak with education, you can speak with knowledge, but do it in a way that's kind. Do it in a way that's filled with love. Because if you're not, then you're caught up into this. You're caught up into this apostate state of mind. All right. So with that said, what about America? What, you got something to say?
Yeah, well, have you ever heard of the Overton window?
No. What is it?
It's a political concept where I was thinking about this while you were talking about how we just lowered the standards. We've fallen away so far that somebody could come in that's not even close to being holy, but because there's such a gap there, yeah, that people will accept it. That's kind of the Overton window theory, where it's if you want to get something done politically, say, whatever, it could be gun control or abortion, it could be a million different things, but you almost go, you shift the focus so far, almost absurdly far, that once, you know, well, people will start accepting something closer to, you know, in between those two things. So it's just a powerful thing. And the other thing I was thinking about, we're talking about signs of the times. I was having a conversation with this guy last, I don't know, Thursday or Friday, and about exactly this. And he's like, have you ever thought, he goes, when you're reading the Bible and it says that it'll be the end times, the end days will be like the days of Noah, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, have you been to Kentucky? He goes, yeah, there's a big freaking ark in the middle of Kentucky. So I just thought that was comical. While you were talking about that, it reminded me of that conversation with this guy last week. And
we'll talk about that.
It's funny,
right?
I mean, it's like, yeah, there's an ark. He goes, if you want a sign, there's a sign for you. So I just thought that was funny. I thought I'd bring it up.
Maybe one of our guests will talk about that a little bit more.
So what do you guys think? You think America's ripe for judgment? Do you really? What do you think?
That was funny. What do you think, Bob?
Man,
I think my laugh says what I think.
Yeah, I think it does. You know my fondness of the founders and how I believe our nation was founded with divine intervention. And I think God could have rained fire down on us a long time ago. But I really believe there's a fondness in his heart for our nation. I mean, no, we're not Israel, but, you know, we were clearly founded with a covenant with God. And I think maybe that's the only thing protecting us right now, because we have just turned our back on him, you know, every step of the way. I mean, you go back into the early 1960s, I think 1961, 62, something like that, where there was court cases that removed morning prayer from our schools. I mean, you go back into the 50s, they prayed in school.
Right.
I mean, most people that are hearing that right now are like, you got to be nuts. Like, that didn't happen. But it did, you know, until the early 60s. And then I think it was the next year, 62 or 63, where they removed the Ten Commandments. You know, we couldn't, they were posted in all the schools, you know.
Teachers would get fired if they talked about God in school today.
Yeah.
So, guaranteed.
I mean, it's completely changed. I mean, I was listening, I'm listening to too much stuff. I can't give you the source, but, they were just saying how, you know, back in the 50s, most of our teachers were Christians and you know, praying was just, it was the norm. You expected it. The Ten Commandments were everywhere. And then that's, you know, a few people, you know, challenged it in court and won. And because, you know, they fought on the idea that, you know, separation of church and state, that, you know, we don't want a church state, you know, deal, that that all that stuff needed to be removed. So, I mean, we've just turned our back on God. And then, I think the 72 Roe versus Wade thing is just, I mean, talk about not protecting the most vulnerable among us. You know, we've turned our back on our own children. And it just reminds me of the Baal worship in the Old Testament, where they were just killing their kids or eating their kids. And
yeah,
just,
Molech.
It's disgusting. And, you know, we're doing the same thing. So do we deserve judgment? Absolutely. I think God's grace has been amazingly patient with us. And who knows?
Yeah, many prophecy scholars believe that the United States will progressively weaken by the time tribulation times. And so they don't believe that the United States are in the end times. We'll talk about this a little bit more next week with the rapture, but they believe that we will then, that's where we'll be caught up. That's where the rapture will take place. And that the remaining Christians now will be caught up. If we were caught up, imagine what would happen in the United States.
Yeah.
It would implode.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, how many Christians are, you know, in
no
key
doubt.
Leadership? Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, we would become weak overnight if that took place. Thoughts, Barry?
You know, for a one world government and for a leader like the Antichrist to rise up, what does that mean? it means that there has to be weak leadership in most nations.
That's right.
And for that to be unified and for people to go with it, well, it's our best option. So we're going to have some rough leadership, I think, in the future. And you know, it's to be expected. And there's going to arise a strong leader that will unify the people. But what is working behind his leadership? And that's a real agenda to bring down Israel and to overtake the temple and sit on the throne of the temple and say, I am God, worship me.
This is the truth. So Job 12:23 says, God makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and he leads them away. There is no doubt about that. So if we are going to rebel against God, God will have his final say. Daniel 2:20-21 tells us that God removes kings and he sets up kings.
That's right.
And so we have to, and so anybody that's worried or fearful of any presidents or any rulers or anything like that, we are fully in God's control. He knows what's going on. He is leading us to the end times. One day we will be with God for all eternity. One day we will be dancing in the streets of gold. One day we will be celebrating with our loved ones in heaven. And I just look forward to that. And so that kind of leads that. So, but is America kind of in that pathway? Yes. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we'll have an attack, an EMP, or, you know, what are those electronic?
Yeah, you had it right. An EMP.
Yeah, electromagnetic pulse or whatever.
Electromagnetic pulse.
I read something where like China has that. That's where we're doing the Star Wars, by the way. I don't want to get too much on this because we're out of time. But I read somewhere where they could shoot up a missile like 200 miles above our Earth and then release this EMT or whatever it's
just
called.
A nuclear detonation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 200-300 miles
completely
up.
Shut down all of our electronics. Yep. I mean, that could happen right now.
Yes.
Can you imagine our military and how depleted and everything we would be? Not to freak everybody out. We have Star Wars now, so we're okay. You know, we have Jedis up there, right? Right.
Stormtroopers.
Yeah, stormtroopers. But the truth of the matter is, God knows is in charge.
That's right.
And one day, we will be caught up. One day, we will be with him in heaven for all eternity. And that's the hope that we have. And so, Barry, why don't you just bring us home with that and talk about that hope?
Well, guys, as always, we so appreciate you listening to this. But the reason why we're doing prophecy and the end times is because so many people are fearful and so many people are wondering what in the world is happening? Is it coming to an end? Well, God tells us that it's going to come to the end. And are you ready is the question. And do you have hope? The Bible absolutely is written so that we may have hope. The Bible is absolutely written so that we will be prepared. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing to worry about.
Amen.
And your family has nothing to worry about because he is going to rescue his bride. He is not going to leave his bride to perish. And it says that in Matthew 16 that the church is going to overcome the gates of hell and it will not be able to prosper against it. That the church is the most powerful force on earth and God's going to sustain his church, his bride, and that the gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. And so that's a powerful hope, and that's a powerful blessing. If you're here listening to this today and you don't know for sure you have that hope, you don't know for sure you're a child of God, why leave it to, well, I hope I am? Don't do that. Because 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you so that you may know that you have eternal life. We want you to have the assurance that God has you in his hands, as John 10 says, that no one can snatch you out of his hands. And so how can I ensure that? Number one, I have to admit that I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
We have all sinned and we don't measure up. We have fallen short of God's standard. We've blown it, all of us. And the second thing we got to do is believe. We must believe in God, and we must believe that God, the Father, sent his only begotten Son, and that Jesus died for our our shortcomings, our sin, and how we don't measure up, so that there could be a transaction of our sin upon him and the cross and his righteousness placed upon us. And by believing in Jesus, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again, we can have that assurance. We can have eternal life, and we can have forgiveness of sin, and we can have his righteousness. So lastly, admit, believe. Lastly, we need to confess him as our Lord. That means state your allegiance. That means come into alignment and surrender yourself to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Either you are leading your own life, or you are allowing God to lead it. Mm. Who is sitting on the throne of your life? So today, would you invite Christ into your life to sit on the throne and control you and be your protector, your Lord, your Savior, your Master by praying this prayer? Just simply say, "Dear God, I am a sinner. I have offended you and I am sorry. Please forgive me. I believe that you love me enough and you wanted a relationship with me so bad that you sent your very best, your son Jesus, to die on the cross for me. I believe that he not only died, but he was buried and he rose again the third day, proving that he was your son, proving that death could not hold him, and proving his authority over sin, his authority over Satan, and his authority over hell. And so, Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are exalted. Come and be the King of Kings and exalted in me. Be my Master. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Come into my life. I surrender right now." If you pray that prayer and you put your trust in Jesus, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." The Bible says that you are a child of God, and that your DNA has been changed. You are a new creation in Christ because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And I just want to congratulate you and say it's the best decision you ever make. So let us know that you did that. Isn't that right, Pete?
Yeah, man, we're so excited if that's the case. And we just love to hear from you. Just log on to riotpodcast.co, riotpodcast.co. And at the top, it says "Know God." Click on that, go through that, go all the way down to the bottom. There's a link there asking you if you've given your life to the Lord. Click yes. Fill out that paperwork. We would love to get paperwork, that little form. And then we would love to get you a Bible and just reach out to you and just hear from you. And if you've given your life, if you rededicated your life, you can go ahead and click on that. And at the bottom, you can do that too. So, Bob, close us out today.
Yeah, what an amazing show, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Regardless of where you're listening to us, whether it be on YouTube or a podcast download, please like us, share, and please share it with your friends. Subscribe so that you get immediate updates when we do go when we do go live on Thursday. So, man, we just so appreciate you. Know that we pray for you, and man, we just enjoy doing the show because we just pray that it's making a difference out there. So if you have comments, you want to share ideas with us, you have questions, you can go to our social media sites, facebook.com, Instagram. Both of those are The Riot Podcast. And you can also go to Twitter at @TheRiot_podcast. And like Pete already shared, our website is riotpodcast.co. You can find out all about us there and even get pictures and find out what Pete and Barry look like.
Yeah, right. And Bob.
Yeah, me too. Well, thanks, guys. Have a wonderful week, and we can't wait to talk to you next week about the rapture.
He's coming back.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you, guys.
This has been The Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of The Riot Podcast.